So I'm not much on kind of corny Catholic humor, if you will, corny jokes, etc., but there is one that is about this gospel, so maybe I'll share it this morning. It kind of comes to bear, and you've probably heard it because it has a way of making the rounds, as these things do. So here we are in the gospel scene, you know, for the joke. Here's, you know, the woman, here's the scribes and Pharisees, here's Jesus, here's the crowds. And he utters the famous phrase, you know, let the one among you who is without any sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And as soon as he says it, from out of the crowd, the stone comes hurling in and knocks the woman over. And Jesus looks over and says with frustration, Mom, I told you. Score one for Mary. She's just a stone thrower. So it's cute, I guess, but it kind of raises the question of how we do understand this reading exactly, because it's easy to get it wrong, I think. It's a lovely gospel story. Only John has it in his gospel out of the four. And it's situated in the last of our three conversion cycle readings for this particular year. Year A, B, C, we're in year C, and in year C, there's always these readings in Lent dedicated to the theme of a change of heart to conversion. So a couple Sundays ago, we began with the fig tree story, getting one more chance. Last Sunday, the great story of the conversion of the prodigal son and the merciful father. Today, the woman caught in adultery. So this is the conversion cycle that we're finishing up before Palm Sunday comes already next weekend. So what does it mean exactly, and what does that joke mean, really? So we could say lots about it, as always, but maybe two sort of strands of thought to focus our attention on the reading this morning. They would go like this. God, Jesus, takes our sins very, very seriously, and he takes our conversion very seriously as well. He takes our sins very, very seriously, and he takes our conversion very, very seriously as well. And that really is going on in this story if you pick it apart a little bit. So first, the sin part. He takes our sins seriously. At no point in this story does anybody say that the woman didn't do anything wrong. Her sin stands. She did, in fact, do something wrong, and so did her accomplice, incidentally. In the law that they're quoting in this story, it says that not only is she supposed to be killed, but so is the one she did it with. They leave that part out, conveniently enough, but that is the law. So nobody really corrects that. Nobody says that that's not true. Nobody says she's not an adulterer. The sin stands, and the Lord does take it seriously. He always takes the law seriously because the law is from him. It's from his Father. He lives the law. He breathes the law. He loves the law. So we're not going to get away from the law here. And part of how we know that he takes her sin seriously is the very last line of the gospel. When he says to her, go, therefore, and do not sin anymore. Do not sin anymore. The expectation is that behavior must be different going forward for her and for this other person too. And for all of us, really. Go therefore and do not sin anymore. So the sin stands. It is acknowledged. It's a fact. But that's not the only sin in this scenario, is it? Because the Lord also takes the sins of the scribes and Pharisees very seriously too. They're having a real hard time in this scene. I'm sure you figured that out. What's the problem with them? They were self-righteous. And in their case, what they were concerned about wasn't her conversion, wasn't her well-being. They were only concerned about scoring a point with this traveling itinerant rabbi who was messing up their authority. And so they were using her, you see, like the men had used her before. They're no better than them, really. They're using her. So their sin is that they are proud, they are self-righteous, and their love of the law is only for the law as an end in itself, not as a vehicle to help anybody come to a deeper love of the Lord, which is the law was given to us for in the first place. So for them, the law is a hammer. It's a weapon. It's not an assistant. It's something that's deadly. And God will have no part of that. He will have no part of that, no? So Jesus takes their sin very seriously, and how we know that because he refuses to get drawn into it. He bends down and he writes in the dirt. That's his way of taking himself out of what he considers to be a deadly and childish argument. So there is sin all around him in this picture, and he takes it very seriously. He also takes conversion very seriously, too. Sin, seriously. Conversion, very seriously. Let's stay with the Pharisees and scribes. There's a conversion going on in them in this story. Because what happens is that the Lord gives them the chance to rethink what they're about to do. His famous line from the joke a bit ago, "Let the one among you who is without sin, you be the first one to throw a stone at her." And what begins to happen? They all walk away one at a time, beginning with the oldest ones there. Many years of sin probably in their case, no? Away they walk, dropping the stones one at a time. That's conversion. Even if small, it's a conversion. So the Lord takes their conversion seriously. He gives them the chance. It's his way of saying, think about this, think about what you're about to do, look at yourselves, back up, and before you walk down what is a rash, angry, frustrated pathway, stop and let your hearts be moved to something else. So he gives them the chance to change, and indeed they do begin to do so. He also takes the woman's conversion very seriously, too. He takes sin seriously. He takes conversion seriously. In her case, there is conversion going on in this story. It's true at the end he tells her not to sin anymore. That would suggest that indeed he expects that a change of behavior will happen, as we said. But a clue to her conversion is actually found buried in the text. It's easy to skip over it. When the whole scene is done and they all walk away and he's left alone with her, he says to her, "Has no one condemned you? Where are your accusers?" And in our translation we heard this morning, she answers, "No one, sir." But if you look in more literal translations of this text and look in the Roman Missal itself and the communion antiphon for today's Mass, the word she uses isn't "sir," it's "Lord." "No one, Lord." And whenever you hear that happen in the Gospels, that's an indication that the person having the conversation has internalized somehow who Jesus is in a meaningful and saving way. So unlike anybody else in this entire twisted scene, she's the only one who uses the word "Lord." That's reverence. That's worship. That's devotion. That's faith. That is the beginning of salvation. That's conversion and opening up of the heart. So understanding that, seeing that, knowing that, she has another chance. God takes her conversion very, very seriously, and therefore she can go forward in peace, not sinning anymore. So he takes sin seriously. There's no pass on that. He takes conversion seriously. He takes the law in its fullness seriously. What does it mean for us, therefore? Because, as I always say, we should always find ourselves in these gospel stories. There are stories, too. They're beautiful. Well, I suppose it gets us back to the joke, right? Because there is a common misconception, perhaps, and a mistake that we can make to think that, well, the only people who must be able to call anyone to accountability must be perfect people. If I'm not the Blessed Mother, then I guess I shouldn't be pointing out anybody else's faults, right? I've sinned, therefore I can't be throwing any stones. Well, that's not quite right. There's more to it than that. And as the sisters reminded us last week during the mission, we must take God in his entirety, not little bits and pieces. The reality is that the mistake that the Pharisees and scribes made wasn't in pointing out the sin, because we are told by the Lord and in other parts of the scriptures that we must admonish the sinner. As the sister said this week, a spiritual work of mercy, in fact, the first one, is to admonish sinners. It's to call them to change. It's to point out when something wrong is happening. And so, therefore, it's appropriate for us to say to other people, "You drink too much. You eat too much. You have a gambling problem. You shouldn't be looking at pornography. No, you can't live with someone you're not married to. No, you can't do these things. You can't drive that way. You can't talk like that. You can't engage in, you know, these kinds of relationships that are not appropriate to people who are not married." That is all appropriate for us to say. We must say those things. If we don't, society winds up looking like it does right now. The problem, and this is where it gets really tricky, and where the Pharisees messed up, is that in their case, they didn't care about this woman at all. They just cared about scoring a point. And they stood back with their arms crossed in this kind of self-righteous, "so there" kind of mentality. God does not like that. That's not what he's about. So what he would say to us is, you know, If you're going to take sin seriously, like I do, and you must take sin seriously and call each other to accountability, you must also take conversion seriously. You must take conversion seriously as well. And you must be longing and burning in your heart for this person's return to the fullness of mercy and love. Jesus says, if that's not in your heart, then your admonition is going to fall flat on its face. It's going to come right back to bite you, like it did with the Pharisees. So we are always called to this kind of beautiful and important mix of admonition, which is important, grounded in complete, total love for the person we're talking to, an absolute full desire for their return to the faith. And we should adopt the posture of that man, that father, in last Sunday's gospel of the prodigal son, who is so overjoyed when he begins to see a change of heart in his younger son. He just rejoices and runs out to meet him because, in his case, he wasn't going to hit him with the law. He was just going to welcome him home. Jesus says, that's what you should take seriously. We want to welcome them back. So the law is given to us to open our hearts, to show us the right pathway, to show us how to walk, and to break us open if they've been hardened. And as they do, his grace should flood us, our behavior should change, concrete decisions should happen to walk a different pathway from the sin. And God rejoices when that happens. So the law is not a hammer, it's a tool. It's an inviter. It gives life, but only if we don't use it as a wedge because we are self-righteous people. 2 weeks of Lent left, give or take a couple days, 2 weeks. So God says to us in these last couple of weeks, I desire your conversion. Drink in my mercy. All the second chances I give you, and as you do, let your hearts be softened. So that way when you admonish one another, and you must do that, my friends, we must do that, then you will do so with authentic and beautiful love. Like the Father's love is merciful, so must your love for each other be. Take conversion seriously, he says. Take your sins seriously. And he says to us today in these last couple of weeks, like he says to the woman, go therefore and do not sin anymore. He takes us very, very seriously. We should take him seriously as well.